It seems counterintuitive, inconsistent with common sense. Someone actually seeking out the very thing that most of us avoid, physical pain. But rituals of self-punishment are common in the religions of the world. Ariel Gluck, author of Sacred Pain, Hurting the Body for the Sake of the Soul, tries to help us understand this seeking out of pain in the search for God.
On the conscious level, there's this desire to be one with something that is somehow greater than your own personal ego, broadening your identity in the Christ-like community, the monastic community. But that's on the conscious level. What is happening at a semi-conscious level is a systemic dissolution or dissolving of your sense of personal identity. The gradual application of pain over time has the effect, for neuroanatomical reasons, of weakening your sense of being an integrated self. The literature indicates that the sense of identity of the self-herder dissolves, and then states of transcendence are enhanced when the right belief is also present, belief in something greater than yourself. In the more archaic communities, agency or self wasn't valued as an ideal, and the divine wasn't necessarily imagined as a person in quite the same way. So this dissolution of identity was valued. But I should really emphasize that pain has not disappeared from the religious life. In the context of pilgrimages, above all else, you still see people hurting for the sake of that intimate encounter with something greater.
I suppose that's not so much different from the runner who runs through the pain, or any of us who exercise. You, when you start, you know that it's going to hurt, but you think that you'll feel better as a result.
Yes, exactly. In fact, the more successful runner is the one who somehow values the end more and is willing to put up with more pain. Of course, there's genetics and talent and so forth, but the desire to overcome, go through the pain threshold, is usually associated with motivation towards a certain kind of goal.
When did the attitude toward this kind of thing begin to change? You talked about how in modern days we are more interested in self. Do you note in looking back into the history of this a time when it began to switch and the choice of pain became less commonsensical?
Oh, absolutely. It's actually possible to pinpoint the decade. The 1840s were very pivotal here. The invention of surgical anesthetics and obstetric anesthetics suddenly made pain optional in the medical world. You now could choose whether you wanted to hurt when you went to the dentist or when you had a child. And at that point, once given the option of not hurting, the vast majority of patients obviously opted to not hurt. And with the loss of that option, very, very quickly, we forgot what value there was in pain before. And you find that the American Midwives Association suggests that pain during a childbirth is a valuable ideological, psychological, and emotional experience. So the same type of ideology that prevailed before vis-a-vis pain as something meaningful, a signal from God, or a way of connecting with community, all that still persists in some limited medical context, such as the midwife's statement on pain.
In these days, of course, our hospitals are often filled with people whom we've declared mentally unbalanced because they inflict pain on themselves. You see people who cut themselves with razors, people who have tried to kill themselves. But generally speaking, it's short of that. It's not related to people actually trying to die.
Not only that, but the pain doesn't involve major brutalization of the body. In cases where a patient bangs his head or her head, severely injuring themselves, there is definitely a call for hospitalization or some kind of treatment. The nuns and the monks over the century who systematically hurt themselves never really went beyond the point of having the pain gradually ratcheted up. So it's a different sort of thing. But even among those, say, teenage or young adult women who, for instance, we hear slashing their bodies with razor blades, sometimes as a result of having been maybe molested, abused, too much stress and so forth, when you read their personal accounts, their personal narratives, the pain itself is often described as actually empowering and not a torture at all.
How do they justify it? How does it become an empowering pain? Is this simply because it's self-inflicted and therefore controlled?
Yes. The name of the game is control. By hurting yourself, you control your own body. There's also, at times, an identification with the abuser who had started this cycle. So you now become the abusive parent as well as the victim. And there's a sense of empowerment in becoming the abusive parent yourself, identifying with that agent. And thereby, the pain that you're inflicting on yourself is experienced as a source of power, and sometimes, in a strange paradoxical way, almost as pleasurable.
Is this kind of, I suppose you'd call that a ritual infliction of pain on yourself, is that the same sort of thing as the choice of pain in religious communities?
In some ways it's the same. I believe that the biological foundations of both are virtually identical. The difference is that in a cultural religious context, there are certain well-conceptualized ideological goals. There's God on the cross and you want to be like God. Or a relative died and the mourning ritual calls for self-hurting in a very carefully designed way and so forth. And so it isn't spontaneous in the closet type of slashing. It's a cultural, well-recognized ritual.
Are there even in modern times accepted uses of pain? You talked about midwives saying that there can be a value to a potential mother experiencing the pain of childbirth. Are there other examples of things in which we look at it and say, yes, it's all right, you should have pain in those circumstances?
Yes, I believe so. You mentioned the example of the athlete who has to go through the pain threshold to become successful. There's also the military context, basic training, in which the new recruit is expected to hurt and suffer this great discomfort in order to, in a sense, lose his sense of individual identity, the teenager that he was, and become part of a greater collective identity, you know, the unit, the Marines.
How much of this is a Western concept? Other cultures view the use of pain differently, don't they?
Yes. This concept, by the way, of pain in the military is very similar to initiatory pain ordeals in which boys, sometimes girls as well, are initiated into the society of adults in many tribes and cultures around the world, in Africa, South America, and Native Americans and so forth. You become a warrior and an adult through going through these various rituals.
Do you think that things would be different if we in the West viewed pain as a gift instead of as a pain?
Well, I believe that to some extent we still do, but as a cultural thing, we have basically abandoned any recognition in the value of pain from our cultural life. We've banished it starting in the 1840s, and I feel that it's irrevocable. And it's not that we need to remember that pain is intrinsically good. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that the ideology in which the individual biological self reigns supreme, that kind of thing, I think, has gone a bit too far. And what came before, the self and relationship to other selves, an identity with some greater value, the loss of that, I think, is something of a loss.
Ariel Glücklich, author of Sacred Pain, Hurting the Body for the Sake of the Soul,